know, it's really fun, since we never advertise out there in the world, how we find these beautiful people walking in, you know, like Lee. Everybody take a look at Lee's daughter. She is gorgeous in the back row back there. Lee's daughter. And you know what? I got to meet her, and she is plain sweet. So everybody don't miss her. But what I started out to say, it's kind of interesting how people find us here. You know, some night it might be fun just to have an evening of saying, how did you find your way here? Wouldn't it? Well, anyhow, we can thank George Thorne and Dave, I believe. They're the ones that brought us our speaker for this evening. And now we won't let him get away. But this will be his first time to express his thoughts to us from the mic up here. But good many of you know him well enough to know that he's got some pretty good thoughts in that head of his. So he's going to share some of them with us this evening, and that's our Ray.
Well, you know what's interesting? You know, you can sit over there, and you can go, oh, this is going to be okay. This is really going to be okay. And then all of a sudden you hear Millie talking, and you start going, oh, my God. You know what I'm talking about. I just want to give you a little bit of an idea of where I've been on my spiritual path. I actually was born in Springfield, Massachusetts, November the 6th, 1942. And at 4:50 in the morning, well, and that's really all I have to say today. from there, though, I of course grew up, and I was going to tell you more about that, but I don't think I have enough time. I was practicing this afternoon, and it could go on for an hour. So what I'll do is I'll tell you a little bit about. I actually was involved in a lot of different things in my life, and what I've realized is that if you want to know why you came here, if you really want to know why you came here, look at what you're doing and what you've been doing, because it all has to do with where you're going. It all has to do with where you're going. And, of course, when you're going, you're not thinking about any of that, any of the spiritual stuff, until you find yourself in that place. For me, I was kind of a late bloomer into the spiritual world. I was actually about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago now. I was living on a boat down in Chula Vista. I had a 57-foot Chris Craft. It was a wooden boat, and you could say, "Wow, that's a big boat." But it's a big boat to keep up, too, because it's a wooden boat. If you know anything about boats, you know it's a hard boat to keep up. And so I was there with a wife of 24 years, and life was wonderful. Life was really wonderful. I was working at the Shelter Island Boatyard, and I was the one who did all the purchasing and the ordering of all the equipment, and I actually had about 30 young Mexican boys who depended on me every day to give them all the tools and supplies that they needed to do their work every day. And in the very beginning, when I took that job, and I'll start there because it's interesting. When I first started the job, the guy that I took over for, and the reason I actually got the job was because I kept looking for a boat, and you have to haul them out, you know, and then they have somebody come and they look at them and appraise them and all that. And the guy who owned the boatyard said, "Who are you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, you're in here all the time with these boats." And he said, "What do you do?" And I said, "Well, I'm not really doing anything right now." He said, "Do you want a job?" And I said, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "Well, I want you to, you know, be this supply person. I want you to order supplies and make sure everybody gets exactly what they need to fix the boats." And I said, "Oh, I can do that." And he said, "I'll pay you $30,000 a year." I said, "Oh, I'll do that. I like that. That was good." And so what happened was, when I first got there, the guy said, who was before me, he says, He said, you know, you got to watch out for them. They all carry knives. He said, I'm telling you. He said, you never know when they're going to jump you. You never know. And I'm thinking, what? What? But, you know, he knows them better than I do because he's been there for several years, right? So I'm being a little cautious. And so one day, and because I was being cautious, they were being cautious, you know, which was interesting. So one day, this young Mexican boy comes up to me, and he said, you don't really know me that well. He said, but my mother is very sick, and she's in Mexico, and I don't have any money at all to get there, and none of the guys have any money right now. And he said, could you loan me some money so I can do that? And I said, sure, I can do that. So I did. I gave him the money. From that day forward, everybody was my friend. And it wasn't because of the money. It was deeper than that. It really went deeper than that. And I started feeling it because they were giving me love. And then I got invited to a birthday party, you know, in Mexico. And I'm saying, Mexico? Could I go to Mexico? Oh, no. But it was wonderful. They picked me up at the border, and, you know, and I went, and they had all their family members, and it was just wonderful. So I started starting to feel really the love that comes from others. And eventually, there was a slip empty, that two slips over from me, and this other Chris Craft comes in, similar to mine. And of course, I'm excited because it's another Chris Craft. So I go over and I meet the, and it's a lady who owns it. And I actually got to know her a little bit. And then it was like the 4th of July, and we were going to have a party on the dock. And that's where you start drinking at 10 in the morning. This was before spirituality, of course. And, well, at least that's what I thought. So there I am on the dock, and this lady comes up to me, and she said, do you mind if I do a reading for you? And I said, oh, what's a reading? I don't even know what that is. She said, well, you know, there's some people who want to talk to you. And I said, well, send them over. They want to talk to you. She said, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. And I had already been drinking quite a bit already, you know, so this sounded really interesting to me. So she said, well, maybe later in the day we can do that. Maybe later in the day. And I said, yeah, sure, okay. So later in the day, she comes back again. And she said, can we do it now? It's just getting dark. And she's got a candle in her hand. And I'm saying, oh, geez, what's going on now? So we go in my boat, and we're sitting in the pilot house. My wife goes down below, and she lights the candle. And she said, just give me a minute here. And she goes into what I know now is kind of a trance thing. And she said, oh, there's three people just walked in. And I said, where? Where? I don't see anybody. And she said, no, they're here. They're just in another place. I don't understand any of it. And I'm trying to understand it. And she said, there's a man here who says that at age 21, you bought yourself a boat, and he was the first one that you wanted on your boat. And I said, no, that was my dad. She said, that's what he's saying. It's your dad. Oh, now all of a sudden, they got my attention. So the second one was my Nana. And she said, this lady would feed you as a baby and was always around the family. She was kind of the matriarch of the family. And I said, oh, that's my Nana. She said, yeah, that's your Nana. Your Nana's one of them, too. The other one you really don't know because it's your mother's grandfather. But he was a medium himself. So anyway, they said a few things to me, and then she said, well, why don't you, what they're telling me is that you need to go ask your mother because your mother will know about this. And I said, my mother? My mother's never said anything about any of this. So I had two tickets, synchronicity, two tickets on the counter to go to Massachusetts to see my mother. So I go to see my mother, and it's a barbecue at my brother's house. So I go up to my mother, and I say, Mom, you want to go for a walk? We got to talk here. So we did. We went for a walk, and we sat on a log out in the woods. And I said, and I told her everything that happened, and I said, what's it all about? She said, well, my dad was a medium when I was a kid. And the family actually took me out. There was some part of the family that didn't like people coming all times of the day and night to go to this medium, who was my father. And he was going to teach me things. And I never really got to that point. But, Ray, it's okay. It's okay. You know, I said, well, what do I do now? And she says, well, you got to go back and talk to Barbara. So I did. I went back and I went over to talk to Barbara. And I said, Barbara, what do I do now? She said, here's a book. Read this book. Tell me if it means anything to you. And it was Edgar Casey's There's a River. And if you've ever read that book, you'll know that it can shake you up a little bit if you don't understand that somebody could fall asleep and go tell people how to heal themselves. I mean, that, you know, he had everybody shook up for a long time in the business of healing. So I read the book, and it just did something to me. It turned me on. I mean, I couldn't believe how excited I got about this. And I went back to her and I said, tell me more. So she gave me another book, and another book, and another book, and another book. 2.5 years goes by, and we're still talking. In the meantime, I become a hypnotherapist. I'm out there, you know, learning how to be a hypnotherapist. And so somewhere along the way, I got it. I mean, I started getting what was going on. I mean, I didn't understand it totally, but I knew that something was going on because I stopped drinking. I didn't feel like drinking anymore. And even that little joint that I would have every once in a while, I didn't do anymore. I knew something was different. I mean, I knew something was different. I knew something was different. And I started feeling different. Then one day, I'm laying in bed, and I've got this thing, and I felt like it was in my ear, but I think it was just in my head, I'm not sure, but it said, time for you to leave on your spiritual path. And I said, what? Time for you to leave on your spiritual path. Where do I go? We'll guide you. Well, yeah, sure. So I go and tell my wife, and I said, I just got this message that I'm supposed to go on my spiritual path and that I'm going to be guided there. She said, no, God's here. You don't need to go anywhere. God is here. And I said, I don't think that's what was said. I just don't. So she said, let's go see Barbara. So I went over to see Barbara, and Barbara closes her eyes, and her eyes start going like that, and she said, Ray, you're supposed to go. You're supposed to go. And my wife says, no, you're not going. No, you're not going. It took me 3 weeks to leave. It really did, because she was crying almost every day. And so I was faced with this whole emotional thing, you know. Here's this lady that I really love and care about, and then here's this God that I really love and care about. So I left. And didn't know where I was going, had no idea where I was going. Found myself, and at times, I have to tell you this because a lot of people don't understand it. There was times when I found my hand moving to do an exit ramp. I mean, it scared me a little bit in the beginning, but then I got used to it a little bit. But it does happen. I mean, when you're supposed to be somewhere, you're there. They get you there. So I land in Sedona, Arizona. And I get to Sedona, and Sedona's beautiful. Have you ever been to Sedona? Everybody been there, Sedona? Oh, it's just gorgeous, it's gorgeous. You come around the mountains, and it's just so beautiful. And so I stay at this motel. And first thing in the morning, I come out and out of my room, and at the same time, there's a couple comes out of their room. Tourist? And I said, no, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know. And I said, you're a tourist? They said, No, we're not tourists. But hold on a second here. So the lady goes into her room and comes back out, and she said, oh, you're the one we've been waiting for. And I said, I just got here. And she said, well, we've been waiting 3 days. And I said, oh, okay. I said, what do you do? And she said, well, I play the keyboard, and my husband plays the guitar, and I download spiritual music, actually, from the universe. And I said, you do? I mean, that's incredible. She said, we're going to work together at some point. We're going to work together. And I said, oh, okay. I mean, it's what do you do? What do you say? You know, I actually have one of her songs on here, which I'll play for you in a few minutes. But she gave me this album. And she said, well, listen to what I have to say. And the music's all about waking up light workers. You know, have you forgotten, is some of them. Why you came here. I mean, you came here to do great things. One of the things that I've learned, even from her music, is that there's a lot of people that are sleeping right now, that they came here to do some really big things, and they're not doing it. They're really not doing it, and they're not staying on their own path. Let me just play this real quick for you, and then when this is done, I'll continue on with the story. Can everybody hear that? Okay.
The world is looking darker. Daytime is giving into the night. The only thing worse than fear is if we don't do what is right. If the world is crying sadly, we must call to her aid. There is nothing that we would not do.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
That's really beautiful. And all of the other songs in the album were the same. I mean, they were very similar to that. And there was this, there was a rock, there's a couple of rock and roll songs on that I really liked too. They were really nice. But shortly after our conversation, this lady says, and her husband said, well, we got to go now. And I said, you do? And she said, well, yeah, now we got to go get a place to live. And then we got to go back to Oregon and get our stuff and come back here. I said, oh. She said, it's all right. It's all right. Don't worry about it. One day you'll know, and it'll all come together for you. I said, okay. I saw them one other time in the 4 years that I was in Sedona. They invited me over for a meal, and I sat with them. And, you know, it was really not much to talk about other than, you know, we got to know each other, but it's, well, nothing's happening yet, you know. So both of them are taking jobs. She's doing one job, and he's doing another job. And so just before I left, I didn't know I was leaving, by the way, but I got a call from her, and she says to me, she said, Ray, would you come over to my house? And I said, okay. She said, I want to do a reading for you. And she's one of the few people on earth, really, that I would ever trust. I mean, she's just a great lady. And so I go over and I'm sitting down, and I sit down, and her husband's going to write everything that's said. I've got it actually with me. But my whole plan was right there after we got done. And she goes like this. She's sitting on the couch. She's saying, your dad's here. Your Nana's here. Barbara's here. That was the lady, by the way, who helped me with the boat. Barbara's here. And they got a message for you. So what they did was they reviewed everything that happened to me while I was in Sedona. Absolutely everything. And told me what it was about for me. I mean, the lessons that I was supposed to learn, if I learned them. And for the 4 years, though, I spent the majority of time working with the earth. I built kivas. I built medicine wheels. And how that started was I went there with very little money because I wanted to make sure my wife had plenty of money. Any money that came in, I wanted her to get it to pay the bills and everything, so I didn't really take much with me. So, but I was offered this job, and this lady said, well, you know, we're looking for somebody who can work with stones. And I said, well, I'm from Massachusetts. The stone capital of the world. And she said, well, did you ever build a stone wall? And I said, yeah, my dad and I used to do that. She said, okay, come on. And I did my first medicine wheel, and it sat 30 people. So it was a pretty large medicine wheel. And then I, when I got done doing that, I did some landscaping, and then she said, oh, I'm getting that I need to build a kiva. And I said, what's a kiva? And she said, well, it's about 6 feet in the ground, like this, and there's a wall all the way around it, and there's the stairs to get into it, and it's Native American. It's what the Native Americans used to do because they wanted to do their prayers in Mother Earth. So they got down below with Mother Earth. And that took me months, months and months and months to do that. It's still there. I mean, the whole thing is still there. We never really finished it. The owner of the property came to the house one day and said to her, what are you digging holes in my yard for? He did. He came out. He said, well, you're digging holes. You're not supposed to do that. I mean, what if animals fall in there? I mean, that's... And I'm saying, you didn't ask anybody. You didn't ask anybody. So anyway, let me get back to the reading. And the reading also said, after telling me what that was all about, it also said that it looked at my body and they said what I needed and what I didn't need and what I should be taking, calcium I should be taking, and I should be taking a little aspirin every day and those kind of things, which I found very helpful, and I still do that. The third thing was that it was time for me to go. And you know, normally I wouldn't accept something like that. But the fact that she was saying it, I knew it was true. I knew it was true. And she said, you have a 3-month window. They're waiting for you, and where you're going. And you're to find George Thorne. I said, George Thorne? I said, that's my best friend in California. We'll find him. He'll tell you. And when you talk to him, he will tell you what you're going to be doing. I said, okay. 2 days later, George calls me on the phone. And he said, how you doing, Ray? And I said, well, I'm going to be heading back home. I said, and I'm thinking I might do it right away. I've got a 3-month window, but I think I'm going to do it right away. I want to go. And so he said, I'm starting a business. And he says, and I can use you. Come on. He said, come on back. He said, well, he said, I'll put you up for a while when you get here, and we can start this business together. He said, it's the same thing we were doing before you left. We were doing something similar to this, and so we're going to do it. And I said, okay. So I gave my 30 days notice. You know, I was actually in an apartment then. I gave my 30-day notice, and I was gone. And I was gone, and I came back, and I'm working with George. And what I want to do is I want to kind of sum this whole thing up for you because it's really interesting. I went on this journey and never really thought anything was going to happen. You know, and you talk to people, and everybody's saying the same thing. They're saying, yeah, we're just waiting here, you know. I got a good book. I'm reading this book, and I'm reading that book. You want to read the book? It's a really good book. I think I read all the books. I mean, I really do. I think I read all the books. I'm kind of waiting to see what's going to happen here. And I think that we get lost in that waiting kind of thing instead of just enjoying the moments that we have before that happens. You know, when we're out there somewhere, it's hard for us to enjoy here. I know I'm an experienced person at this. But I have to tell you, and I know it was, there was a synchronicity here about me being here tonight. That as loud and clear as it could be, I got a message. And my message really had to do with what my path was going to be about. And I can't go into it right now, the whole thing, because I've only got pieces of it. But it has to do with the band. It has to do with the band. It has to do with teaching people. It has to do with traveling. That much I know. I know a little bit more, but I can't share that yet. But all I'm trying to say here is that, God, just have faith. You know, we're coming into a time when the earth needs us. I mean, we came here to do stuff. I mean, we all came here to do something. And all those skills that you had, all those skills that you brought with you to this journey today are the skills you're going to use, and you're all going to get a call. You're all going to get a call. You know, I'm not different than any of you. You're going to get a call, and you're going to be so happy about it. You're going to say, oh, there it is, because you made a plan before you even got here. You made a plan. You know, and those angels that are up there for you are helping you along this path. They're helping you to get to where you need to be. Sometimes we go off the path, we go back on. But it doesn't matter. Eventually you get back onto it anyway. And whatever you chose to do, though, is for your highest and best. Because there are so many people out there who don't get it, who did the same thing that you did. And they're there, and you're here. And that's really my message for today. Thank you. I'm going to sing a song.
Oh, wow. I can find my glasses.
There they are. And I was trying to think of a song that would really talk about what this is really all about. And it's really all about God. And this on here it says he. But I think it's a he and she, to be honest. And I think it's about all of us.
turn the tides and calm the angry sea. Decides who writes the symphony. He lights every star that makes the darkness bright. He watches although each long and lonely night. He still finds the time to hear a child's first prayer. When you need a friend, you'll always find him there. He gives everything we will ever need to live. He always says, I forgive. He can grant a wish or make a dream come true. He can paint the clouds and turn the gray to blue. He alone knows where to find the rainbow's end. He alone can see what lies beyond the bend. He can touch a tree and turn the leaves to gold. In his total love, it's you and I he holds. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he always says, I forgive. He always says, I forgive. Thank you, Ray.
His journey, isn't it? His journey. And we all have our journey, don't we? It's really nice if you ever, maybe we'll not all get that opportunity that he had there, but it's good. What he did was go back and he looked at his life and let us walk along the pathway with him, didn't he?